تزكية لقلوبنا وتطهيرا لنفوسنا وتعجيلا لفرج سيدنا ومولانا بقية الله الأعظم الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. عطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي. السلام عليك سيدي رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, as we salute Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as we imagine ourselves going into the holy city of Medina, as we imagine ourselves passing, getting closer to the grave of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, as we take the steps through these holy sites in that holy land, we walk those steps, we take that journey with our beloved Lady Zainab, our beloved Lady Zainab, our beloved Lady Zainab. What was the first thing she did when she went to the city of Medina? She entered the holy city of Medina when she went to the grave of Prophet Muhammad. She stood there before her grandfather Rasulullah. She said from the deepest of her heart, Jadda, Grandfather, Prophet of Allah, as I left Medina with Hussein, I come back to Medina without Hussein. Have you seen what your nation has done to your grandson Hussein? Jaddah, ya Jaddah, ya Rasulullah, ya Lady Zainab. The same call she had called in the land of Karbala on the day of Ashura, her and the woman and the children, who were they calling, who were they asking for help other than their beloved Imam Hussein? When they were attacked by the army of Yazid, you would see the women and the children run in the desert. As the camp is caught on fire, she would call, "Oh Father," the other would call for her son, another would call for her brother, but all receive no reply or help, for the men were martyrs on the land of Karbala. On the 10th day of Ashura, they would call, "Habibi Hussein, Abuna Hussein, our father Hussein." No answer comes from the land of Karbala. They say a daughter was running when one of the soldiers of Yazid, he stopped her, he looked at her. This daughter of Imam Hussein was so terrified. The soldier looked at her and he said, Oh, daughter of Hussein, what is it you're running from? What is it you want? She looked around. They say she looked around as if she looking for something. She asked him, "Do you know I am looking for a land, for a city where they have buried my grandfather, Imam Ali, for I want to call for help. I want to ask him, Sayyidi, do you see what they have done to your children? Have you seen what they have done to your son? Have you seen what they have done to your daughters? Sayyidi, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, ya laytana kunna ma'akum sadati, فنفوز فوزا عظيما. غريب كربلاء، مظلوم كربلاء، الشهيد كربلاء. Beloved Imam Hussein, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala alihi. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأطحي التهامي السيد البهي السراج المضيء الكوكب الدري صاحب الوقار والسكينة المدفون بالمدينة العبد المؤيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Almighty Allah
sisters in the Holy Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات Dear respected brothers and sisters, I want to take the time, as I thank you for making the time to commemorate the tragedy of Imam Hussein Salamullahi Ta'ala Alayhi in this holy month of Muharram, fulfilling a little bit part of our duty towards Ahlul Bayt Alayhim Afdhalus Salati Wassalam, as much as we can, through attending and hopefully through learning and hopefully through carrying out what we learn in our daily lives. For let me tell you, if all we get out of these majalis is an emotional high or a movement of the tear, as much as good it serves us, it's not enough. For we need to take it and carry it in our daily lives. This is the challenge. The challenge in everyone's heart and mind, dear brothers and sisters, how do you take the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? How do you take what you learn and how do you take the steps of the journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and translate them into your lives? And let me tell you, there are people that might live their entire lives and attend tons of majalis, yet they're very far away from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because Imam Hussein became a stamp of culture and tradition, and it's not embedded in their heart. It's embedded in their emotions, which is not the heart of intellect, not the heart of self, not the heart of movement, not that heart that moves the mountains, not that heart that challenges, not that heart that is able to advance and change. It is the heart that just feels the joy or feels the sadness. And as soon as the event moves away, you see that heart goes back to its old self. That self needs to be engaged with the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The one that lives throughout the year with you. The you that everyone talks about. The I that we try to change. The I that we live with every single day. The I that we wake up with. The I that we sleep with. That I needs to be engaged from beginning to end with the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And that I start with the idea, with the thought, with understanding and comprehension. No matter what, the tear only loosens the eye to allow the thought to take good grip of the self, and so it can be engaged with. Dear brothers and sisters, as much as we mention the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as we live with Lady Zainab alayhi salam on what happened, our core target is the eye. Our eye has to be moved. Our eye has to be changed. From the beginning of Muharram until the end of Muharram, we need to realize, if we say we stop today, then know that you did not engage in Muharram. For when you realize that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and their message and the message of reform that Imam Hussein alayhi salam addressed in Karbala, you realize that it never ends. You realize there is no end for Muharram. You realize that you live every single day with the teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We talk about reform. We talk about change. You know, 2008, the presidential campaign was about change. And the words, yes we can. Today, we're facing another presidential reform. And everyone claims they're changing. Everyone claims they have the answer. Let's ask ourselves. Let's look as individuals that realize and think to ourselves that we have the solution. You know, the one thing that we always hear, Shi'ism has the solution. We are the religion with all the answers. We always claim that in ourselves. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he went out in Karbala, he talked about what? Reform. Reform can be looked at as change. And change can be addressed as setting yourself apart from the past. I have history, I want to change it. I want to move up away from what I was to something else. That's how we sometimes look at change. Yet, if we engage with the Holy Quran, we would have a problem with that. Why? Allah Azza wa Jal, the last verse that was revealed unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, what was it? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Al-yawma ya'isa alladhina kafaru min dinikum. Today, those who disbelieve, despair from your religion. They gave up on it. They can't change it. Listen very carefully. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. Don't fear them. But fear me. Worry about me, Allah is saying. Pay your attention to me. Don't worry about the disbelievers now. If we take this part alone, it tells you now, as Muslims, don't worry. Islam will prevail. It will never cease to exist. That's a given. God is guaranteeing this to you. Alright. This is good and bad. Great, that tells you that disbelievers cannot destroy you. They cannot take you down. It is not that battle. You'll have a different battle. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today I perfected your religion. أَكْمَلْتُ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And I fulfilled my blessing to you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I accepted Islam as a religion for you. So here, Allah is telling me my religion is complete. My religion is complete. It is perfect. What in the world I'm trying to reform in it? All these calls for change. What am I changing? Here we are asked to change, to completely have this change. As Muslims, we need to reform ourselves. So what? We let go of what we have. We let go of our roots. We let go of the Quran or Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. See, we need to realize, go back. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam leave with us? See, reform in the way we look at it, it's going back to the roots, going back to what we originally were given and making sure that we did not deviate from it. This is reform. Reform is to look back at our roots. Our roots, Al-Qur'an wa Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And let us with this remember our 12th holy imam by please rising up and moving forward with Allah salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. With moving forward, inshaAllah, you are allowing more people to share with the thawab of attending the majalis of Imam Hussein salamullahi ta'ala alayh. And let us recite a loud salawat. So we ask ourselves that in order for us to truly tap into their roots, we need to realize what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam leave us with. Inni tarikum fikum al-thaqlain. I'm leaving behind the two weights. Kitabullah wa itrati ahla bayti. The holy book and my household is very simple. Why are we today, as Muslims, living the way we're living? It's because we let go of this. We cannot take the Quran without Ahlul Bayt. We cannot take Ahlul Bayt without the Quran. They complement, they are together. The problem is what? We let go of them. When we let go of them, see what happens, we say about the Holy Quran. How can we understand the Holy Quran without the Imam alayhi salam? And we talk about the Imam, we claim the Imam is in occultation. Once you say the 12th Holy Imam in occultation, it means what? It comes to mind the Imam alayhi salam and us are disconnected. And let's be real to ourselves. Please, don't kid yourself. No, I live with the Imam. I am engaged with the... What? How are you engaged with the Imam? How do you connect with the 12th Holy Imam? By what? Every now and then you say, Allahumma kulli waliyak al-hujjat ibn al-hasan. You give that dua. This is a dangerous question that needs to be addressed by all of us. Your connection with the 12th Holy Imam, how do you define it? For if you don't define, I don't care who you are, what you are, your age, your qualifications, if you do not try or attempt and successful at defining that relationship with the 12th Holy Imam, realize that your life is a failure. Can I be more clear than this? I don't care what you achieve in life, you disconnect with the 12th Holy Imam, you failed. Period. Having said that, hopefully I got your attention now because I don't want you to fail and I hope you don't want yourself to fail. Let me re-emphasize this point. No matter what you achieved, don't be fooled by the self. The self sometimes looks at yourself, come on, you are such a great person. Look at your qualifications, what you've done. You've done X, Y, and Z and you accomplished X, Y, and Z. But then you ask yourself, I want you to go and ask yourself right now, shake that self, ask it, how do I relate to the 12th Holy Imam? For example, if I am in love, what defines my success? Some of us, what defines their success? Their household. Maybe who they're married to. Maybe their wealth. Maybe their job. Maybe their career. Since your career became number one, it means you have a deficiency in your relationship with the Holy 12th Holy Imam. I don't care what you say. Why? Because when you realize if you have a great relationship with the 12th Holy Imam, it will immerse you and take over your life. And this is, by the way, I don't want you to think this is only a talk for the majalis. Oh wow, I got inspired. I got so revved up. I am right now. And then after a few, three, 4 days, after Muharram, we're done. What happened to that? I don't know. It was a hype. Yes, it was a hype. A lot of us go through high and then we fall. Why? You know why? Because we did not engage with the idea. We did not allow our mind to take hold of that thought and really engage with that thought. We're just emotional people. And it's great to be emotional, but with a mind, with a brain, with intellect. emotions without intellect. It's like, have you seen a saw? An electric saw? Turn it on. What does it do? It just cuts whatever in front of it. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Electrical saw. I don't know why this came to my mind right now, but you just open the electrical saw and it just goes on. You put it on wood, it cuts. You put it on, it tries to cut. You put it on your hand, it tries to cut it too. It'll cut it. It doesn't have a mind. It doesn't have the hands to see or say, no, no, hold back. Don't do this. I'm going to stop you. No, it's turned on, period. That's a human with emotions. Wherever you put him or her, they are destructive. Why? Emotions, desires. It needs the intellect to steer it around. Without that intellect, it's completely useless. It's harmful. Now the intellect is what? It's the ideas. The ideas that steer the emotions. If you do not have the idea set in your mind, then what do you have? You're empty. You become an open, what? Open book for anyone to write in it. And today, person A writes in it, tomorrow person B, and you end up your life with nothing. Failure. So, defining your relationship with the 12th holy imam is essential for your success. We say the imam is an occultation. What in the world does that mean? Occultation doesn't mean that he's not around. See, if we say occultation is not is the imam not being around, it's exactly like saying, why in the world did Allah create him? If he's exactly like the imam does nothing, the imam is in hiding, he has nothing to do, he's just hiding, waiting, then might as well. Why did Allah Azza wa Jalla create him and bring him to give him existence 1200 years ago? Might as well wait until it's time, and then someone will give birth to him, and that's it. So there is a fact, because we know Allah does not do anything in vain. If He is created, that means He has an active role. And the Imam, alayhi salam, dear brothers and sisters, and it's not the discussion for tonight, his role, his mere being, plays a role in this existence. What is it? How is it? It's another discussion. For me to define my role with the Imam, dear brothers and sisters, it's essential. Listen to me. I don't know how much I can emphasize this point. Because, and yes, most of the people, their life will be wasted. Because at the end of the day, they only know the Imam by his name. They don't know nothing else. The Imam, alayhi salam, is the principle and the idea. The idea will be translated through your behavior. And we'll talk in later days how the Imam alayhi salam is really part of our being, but I just need to pay attention to him. How the Imam alayhi salam has a role in my own being and existence. The 12th holy Imam. But now we come back and ask ourselves, in trying to reform who we are, in trying to change, we need to look back at the roots. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, left us with. He left us with al-thaqlain, the two weights. Now, as we try to build this set of ideas in our minds, you see, as I started yesterday, dear brothers and sisters, talk about how we in our communities have certain illnesses and certain barriers that stop us from achieving our perfection. That perfection is defined by our relationship with the 12th Imam. You think if our relationship with the 12th Holy Imam alayhi salam is excellent, not one of us, not two of us, but all of us, you think the Imam alayhi salam would not see more of his blessings? Have you ever seen the blessings of the Imam in your life? Most of us are not aware of it. Those who are, great. But those, most of us are not. Why? Because we're not engaged. We don't know. First of all, even if we receive a blessing from Him, we don't know it's a blessing from Him. We're not engaged with Him. We're not building the relationship with the 12 holy Imam, Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. We cry on Hussein alayhi salam. We cry on Imam Hussein. We should cry on ourselves, for we lack the relationship with the 12th holy Imam. No, really, I don't know how to bring this to reality. That we say, we wish we were with you. We talk about Imam Hussein. We talk about the companions of Hussein. What happened with them. And how we would hope, we wish we were with them. And we have these images of what we would do in the battle. The battle of Karbala is fought every single day, every instant. We are fighting Karbala today. But Karbala today is not fought with swords. It's not fought with blood. It's fought with ideas. It's fought with ideas. And I want to emphasize, the question is, what's the building base for our ideas? What do we build? We say we have a religion. This religion is complete. Now we have these calls from left, right and center. Some trying to reform our religion. Our religion don't need any reform. We need the reform. The religion does not need reform. Don't fall victim to those who say Islam needs a reform. Our understanding of Islam needs a reform. We need a reform. And this is what our mujtahideen, our scholars, our jurists do. What do you think they do? They protect their religion from deviation. They protect our religion, our understanding from being hijacked by others. What do? They ground us and take us back to our roots. The beauty of our religion, that it's rich from 1400 years ago. It has the wealth. We need to tap into that wealth. We need to connect with it and live it. But how can we live with something we don't understand? We just took the outer skirt. We just took something very superficial of what we understand to be religion. And we let go of the core. The ideas. How many of us? Let me ask you. You know what? I'm going to ask this center. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you know what's the most important committee should be established in every Islamic center? It's the Education and Learning Committee. Do we have programs of how to develop the minds of this attendance? Let me tell you, I know, I'm not blaming this here, by the way, it's everywhere. 99% of the place. Because I know when I was invited, no one told me, listen, Sayyid, you're invited, we want you to talk about this topic. Why? Because our gathering, we worked with them over the years, now we need to address this issue. No. And I'm sure every other place, very rarely you'll find someone being told, we need you to address issue A, B, or C. No. Why? Because we don't have a direction, we don't have a roadmap, we don't have a blueprint for what we want to take these minds, and these are minds each one of you can really change the world. I don't know who is sitting here that might be a companion of the 12th Holy Imam. Who knows? Who knows who from this crowd will be married and bring a child who will be this child, a companion and a helper of the 12th Holy Imam. You think it's impossible? It's very possible. I don't know. By the way, if you're one of them, I'm sorry to be speaking in your presence. But the fact is, it could. But why is it we do not? When we go to college, you have to take one. Can you skip courses? No, you can't. I don't care what you do. There are prerequisites. You take this class and then that class and then you finish. And then can you skip and take a master without taking a bachelor's? Prerequisite. Why when it comes to our religion, which is the building block for the minds and the souls of all of us here. Without the religion, we are lost. But we don't pay attention to this. We get involved in so many little things. We care about so many little fights. Oh my God, what? You know, it kills me when I find individuals, and I mean to talk about the art of criticism, how we criticize. Because you know what I hear a lot of times? We are so good at criticizing one another. My God. One person, you know, sometimes it happened here, it happened different places. One person made one mistake on the podium and we're about to rip him apart. Oh, how dare he says this or that. So why don't we just see, maybe talk about it, have a dialogue, discuss it. So people make mistakes, number one. And if they don't, maybe you can correct them. And if it's not a mistake, it's another opinion. So what? Why does everyone have to be a replica of my mind? My ideas, my thoughts. The worst thing, every time we find people want to criticize the scholars. Why is it, you know, I am so sick and tired of this. When I hear, why is it that we don't have one Eid? You know what? Before you talk, become a jurist and then talk. Else, know your limitation and just please know your limitations and respect yourself. Why do we not take the standards? We just are all over the place. We want to be everything, do everything. No. We can't do that. Allah Azza wa Jal, your brothers and sisters, as I started this lecture with the verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Udu'u ila sabili rabbika. Call them to the path of your Lord. Bil-hikmati. With wisdom. وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ And the words of good advice. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ And reason with them in the best way possible. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ Your Lord knows who has strayed away from His path. In this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us there are three ways we talk to people. Three ways. بِالْحِكْمَةِ Wisdom, al-maw'idha al-hasana, advice, or jadilhum billati hi ahsan. The argumentation or the reasoning in the best of good words. Let me explain these three. Allah is telling us here, when I'm talking to someone else, I need to take one of these three ways to address an issue. Why? Because you realize, dear brothers and sisters, most of us don't take any of these three ways. And when you don't take any of these three ways, what happens? You end up talking in vain. Whatever talk you produce is destructive for your community. Our communities today, and let me tell you, we talk about the Imam, 12th Holy Imam in occultation. Let me make a statement here and let it stay in your heads. The Imam alayhi salam is in occultation, in absence? No. The Imam is just not present with us. That's the definition of occultation. We, the community, are in real occultation. We are absent of the Holy Imam. He's not absent from us. He's amongst us. He sees what we do. We're just absent of Him. Why? Because when you waste your time and effort, when you direct your energy in vain, you just disconnected from the Holy Imam. And here Allah Azza wa Jal defines three ways for you to talk to others. Hikmah, maw'idha hasana, and al-jidal. Let's define them. Al-hikmah is proof. You use logic. You arrive to a solid proof, no one can argue with you. Premise A, premise B, a conclusion. Al-maw'idha, the advice, is when you try to loosen someone's heart and soul with saying something useful by showing him or her what is good, what is bad, the effects of good, the effects of bad. You're using the emotions and not completely absent of the intellect. Now, جَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ الْجِدَالِ This argument means what? To use. See, al-hikmah is an argument that will make you arrive to certainty. But al-jidal is an argument to win a situation. It may not be the means for certainty, but you will win. For example, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam with when Muawiyah talked to him and he was telling him that he does not want to pay allegiance to him, and he was trying to argue with examples of the first and second and third Khalifa, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib said, "Amma ba'd faqad bay'ani al-qawm," the same people that paid allegiance to Abi Bakr, to Umar, on what they paid allegiance to, they have paid allegiance to me. So you cannot argue that. Why did Imam Ali argue Muawiyah with this? He was using al-jidal to win over this argument with Muawiyah from Muawiyah's own knowledge. The Imam doesn't believe, he doesn't care about who paid allegiance to the other one or two. But he's using the argument of Muawiyah against Muawiyah. So the people of Sham who follow Muawiyah would start thinking, maybe they start thinking. Now, that's why the Imam Aleyhisselam, he says, "Faya al-shura." You're talking about shura that go back to the people. He goes, "When there was doubt in me that now I was started to be compared to the first or the second." Who is? Do you know who the Imam Aleyhisselam is? You know, it's a tragedy when some of us, you know who hurts us the most? You really know who hurts us the most? We hurt ourselves the most. When we go, when I was in Hajj this year, I was sitting down and there were individuals as we tried to finish Dua al-Tawassul. We read Dua al-Tawassul and someone was a little bit afterwards came and he wasn't very happy. I said, "What is wrong?" He goes, "You know, why us the Shia still use the Imam alayhi salam? We use the Imams to reach Allah. We don't need anything. We can reach Allah directly. We don't need to put barriers between us and Allah." And you know, some people sounded good, you know, reform. You know, let go of Ahlul Bayt. We need to be... And he was arguing against it. You know, we do not need anyone. Don't put a barrier. We are those who believe in Tawheed, the oneness of God. We do not need anyone between us and Allah. And it sounded good. I was quiet for a little bit. He insisted. He said, "Sayyid," he thought, you know, there's an argument. He's arguing. He won argument. And people gathering, yes, you know. Because we have now what I remember, I told you before, what I call Shia Wahhabism. Take away everything. Ahlul Bayt? No Ahlul Bayt. Anything you do, why do you cry for Ahlul Bayt? Why do you go and visit Ahlul Bayt? Why do you go and visit the graves of Ahlul Bayt? Why do you put them between you and God? I said, I looked at him. He goes, "What do you think of us? Of what we think?" I said, "Do you want to know what I think of you? I call you Hizb al-Shaytan." But hold on, why are we laughing here? Let's understand the material. See now, now we got Hizb al-Shaytan. Why? Understand why. I told him, "You're doing exactly what Iblis did. Allah told Iblis, you perform sujood to Adam. This is the ibadah I want from you. It's conditioned that you perform the sujood through Adam." So she said, Iblis said, "No, I want to directly be obeying you. I want to directly be what? Worshipping you. I want to talk to you." He said, no. "You do it the way I want you to do it. Not the way you want to do it." Those people, we call them Hizb al-Shaytan. They want to take away the tawassul of Ahlul Bayt. Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wabtaghu ilayhi al-wasila." Seek the means to Allah. And let me ask you, we stand and every single day, five times, we direct ourselves to a cube in Mecca called the Kaaba. Now you want to tell me, I can use this cube in Mecca called the Kaaba as means to Allah, and I cannot use Ahlul Bayt. What kind of mind? Really, the mockery of the human intellect. It's even wrong to say human intellect. These people who think this way are void of intellect. See, some people really want to learn. They start discussing things. They start asking. That's fine. But those who deliberately come and try to undermine our belief and faith, there's a danger here. But the problem is what? If we do not have the intellect, if we don't understand the Quran, if we don't understand Ahlul Bayt, if we don't understand that people listen, those who are calling this, are truly Hizb al-Shaytan. These are the ones, they are doing what? They are reviving the call of Shaytan. They are reviving, they are trying to bring back the call of Iblis. No, I don't want anyone. I want to talk directly to Allah. Allah says, ابتغوا إليه الوسيلة. Seek the means to Allah. And in the best act of worship we have, we seek the means, which is what? Al-Kaaba. Put a heart, put a soul into that stone. What happens? SubhanAllah, think of the Holy 12 Imam alayhi salam, dear brothers and sisters. So here, when we go into arguments, and when we argue, we need to realize one thing. And I'll briefly talk about it tonight. In the following nights, I will get into more details. The human being sometimes is active, sometimes proactive. The reactive or proactive. The reactive part, we react for one of three reasons. When sometimes we're offered or we're faced with a dilemma, it's either we think with it through the power of intellect, power of desire, power of anger, or we don't look into it very objectively. We become subjective. So, what we end up doing when we try to become reactive or defensive at things, we ask ourselves, why am I being defensive? Is it because someone is insulting my intellect? Someone is insulting or stepping on something I believe in? What is it? And why is it that we react differently in different events? Inshallah, in the following nights, I'm going to talk about the self in more details, and what the self does, and how the self, which is the most important thing that you have, how is it linked to the 12th Holy Imam in the way it is made and built? But tonight, I want to end the discussion with this following thought and idea. When we react to any issue, today the issues are many. When I look at our community, I have to ask myself, how do I communicate my issues to the community? And how does the community communicate its issues to me? Is it through al-hikmah, through the maw'idah, through jidal? Have you seen how our community at times, the emails suddenly go up high and the whole discussion start about, and you try to ask, what is the issue at hand? Let me ask you seriously. How many of us can say, in the past year, from all the issues were discussed, how many issues really were of value? I'll tell you one issue that I think was worth a lot of value. The issue of Bahrain, for example. Right? What else? What else was thrown out there and discussed thoroughly? And by the way, even the issue of Bahrain. It's an important issue, but let me ask you though. I might offend some people here. But that's fine. You're stuck with me a few nights, so give and take. It's okay. It's a discussion. See, many people took stands on the issue of Bahrain. How many of us made sure our stand is legitimate? Listen to me very carefully. Our stand is correct. In these issues, do we take these stands individually? Or is it that we go back to our leaders? Do our leaders go back to our jurists? How does that work? What should we say? How should we react? Some of us say, you know what, we should take a stand on every issue, every political issue that happens. The issue of Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, this and that, Syria, Yemen. And then, you know what's worse? They say, look, some of them dare and speak. It's okay. We'll listen to them. How come our jurists are not saying something? Our maraja are not talking about it. They did not say anything about Egypt. I'm right or wrong? Aren't people saying that? You guys are all silent. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Actually, they're saying their silence is the statement. They're saying, don't get into something you don't know its outcome. It's not clear yet. There are things that we can get involved, there are things we cannot get involved. We don't have to react and have a statement for every single thing that happens. Who said that? Why do we have to clap and rise for every issue in the world? No, we don't. Really, we don't. When something that we can change, maybe. When something that has an effect on us, maybe. But every opinion, every issue that happens, we need to make a statement? No, we don't. This is what they're saying. It's either, let me tell you, let me define this. It's either we have leadership or we don't have leadership. We cannot take that leadership and wear that hat when we want to and take it off when we want to. Sometimes we might not understand the leadership. Try to understand it. Don't worry. We'll talk about this issue because I'm here in these nights. I want to dismiss some of these myths about either our scholars, our maraja, our hawzat, our community, our religion. And the myths that start within our community, not from outside. You don't know what we have. We have something great. We have something valuable. But how much time did we put to understand? Let us not be reactive people. We just react. We just see what's happening and we make our opinions based on what? On what? Can I criticize at any time anything? Can I have an opinion on anything that comes up? Inshallah, tomorrow this is going to be the discussion. Can I really have an opinion on anything that happens that shows up on CNN, that shows up on BBC, that I hear? I have to take a stand and I have to have an opinion. This is an important discussion. I want you all to come and I challenge you to come and discuss it. That's why, dear brothers and sisters, we see Imam Hussein salamullahi ta'ala alayhi in Karbala. And what happened in the 10 days leading to Karbala, leading to Muharram. Let me talk a little bit about the historical background because I want to lay the foundation for these coming few nights. We hear about Karbala and we hear about the names of Yazid, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Today, the map in the region is of... Everyone knows where Iraq is, right? Everyone knows where Syria is, Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan, right? Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and Yemen, and Oman, correct? Back then, the map was drawn differently. How was the map drawn? There was a place called Iraq. there was a place called Ash-Sham. Ash-Sham was the collection of Syria, Lebanon, Palestine and Jordan. And there was Biladul Hijaz, which is now known as Saudi Arabia. And there was Yemen, which extended a little bit to Oman. And then the rest of the areas were covered with Bilad al-Hijaz. In Sham, there was Dimashq, which is still until today, Damascus. At the same time, in Iraq, there was Basra and Kufa at that time, in the 60 after Hijrah. Baghdad and the others were not established yet. Now, Karbala was not a well-known land at that time. It was after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein a.s. Karbala was known to be Karbala. And it was after the martyrdom of Imam Ali a.s. and Najaf was known to be Najaf. Now, at the time of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib a.s., the one who stood against him was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And Muawiyah, after his death, left whom? Yazid, la'antullahi alayhi. Now, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, after him came Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. And after Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam came Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. Having drawn this map, Yazid receives the news that Muawiyah, his father, died. Because he was hunting, he was known to like very strange things amongst them. He liked to play with monkeys. He liked to spend his time with doing all the... Anything that is haram is defined by Yazid. Let me just simplify it this way. Any haram is liked by Yazid. He was the definition of haram. Now, Yazid received the message that in Muawiyah died. It took him the third day after the death of his father, he arrived to Damascus. And people started coming and paying allegiance to him. Yazid right away sent a messenger to Medina. Medina was in Hijaz. Medina was known to be the place of the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And Al-Walid was the governor of Medina. Al-Walid, his first advisor, Marwan ibn al-Hakam. Now, Al-Walid, when he received the message said, gather Al-Husayn, gather Abdullah ibn Umar, gather Abdullah ibn Zubayr, and have them give allegiance to Yazid. And make sure the most important of them three is Al-Husayn ibn Ali. When he received it right away, he dispatched to Imam Hussein that same night. Al-Walid, receiving that message, called Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein received the news that Al-Walid wants to see you right now. Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam had about 30 of his household with him. He said, come with me. And if you hear the voice becomes loud, come in and be inside of the house at that moment. Imam Hussein entered the house of Al-Walid. Al-Walid told him, Yazid has taken over Muawiyah after his death. And Yazid is... asking for you to pay allegiance to him. Imam Hussein a.s. at that moment told him, what would the allegiance be of use in the middle of the night? Why don't you wait till the morning? Al-Walid thought, sounds good. I'll give you until the morning. But Marwan told Al-Walid, if you let Hussein leave tonight, you will never see him again. You will never be able to get him again. So, Marwan started pushing Al-Walid. Walid did not want to push Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Marwan pushed further and threatened Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein told him, who are you to threaten someone like me? Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as he spoke to Al-Walid, he told him, someone like me does not pay allegiance to someone like Yazid. Yazid is someone who is fasiq, sharibun lil khamr, he's a transgressor, he's someone who drinks alcohol, and he went on talking about Yazid. وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايُعُ مِثْلَهُ. Someone like me does not pay allegiance to someone like him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam left the council, and they say at night he went to visit his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's grave. Dear brothers and sisters, let us go with Imam Hussein alayhi salam in that night. They say Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the middle of the night, as he was visiting his grandfather Muhammad, they say Imam Hussein was supplicating to Allah. The first night went passed by, the second night he came and visited his grandfather again, and they say the third night, when Imam Hussein, he went to visit the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, O Prophet Muhammad, you know of my state, you know what they want of me, you know what is happening. They say, Imam Hussein, in that middle of the night, he stayed by the grave, and then a little bit of sleep overtook the Imam right at the grave, where he saw Grandfather Muhammad. He said, Ya Hussein, O son Hussein, your mother, your father, your brother Hassan are all waiting for you. Here Imam Hussein understood the message from Grandfather Muhammad, saying, O Hussein, you're coming to us, Ya Hussein. Jadda, Jadda, O Grandfather Muhammad, take me to you, take me to my father Ali, to my mother Zahra. Dear brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein, upon waking up, he saw the message and he directed himself towards Mecca. From Mecca he went to Karbala. On the way to Karbala, he had dispassion in Mecca, the companion Muslim ibn Aqil. On the way from Mecca to Karbala, they say Imam Hussein with the caravan, with the woman and children, with Lady Zainab. They say, Lady Zainab alayha salam, until the last moment she was with her brother Hussein. It seems now from the night of the ninth, if right before the 10th day of Muharram, they say Lady Zainab alayha salam would go from tent to tent, checking, trying to see Imam Hussein. Where is Imam Hussein? What is happening to Imam Hussein? They say Lady Zainab alayha salam saw Imam Hussein sitting with
Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam and al-Abbas. She came and sat with them. Imagine this household is sitting together. Al-Husayn, Zainab, Al-Sajjad and Abbas is sitting together. Al-Imam al-Husayn telling them, Al-Abbas and Al-Sajjad, that tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow these people decided is gonna be the battle. They will not let us go. They will fight us until the end. They say, Lady Zainab alayha salam suddenly stood up, holding herself together, turning away, about to head out. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he held Lady Zainab from her shoulder. He said, Sister Zainab, Sister Zainab, why are you leaving? He said, she looked at him, her eyes are down, holding her tears. She said, Brother Hussein, let me leave. Let me go outside back to my tent. He said, Sister Zainab, what is happening to you? And there in that moment, Lady Zainab alayha salam, she started crying. She said, Brother Hussein, you told me you don't want to see me crying here. But how can I hold my tears when I hear you mourning yourself that tomorrow you will be killed in the battle of Karbala? On the 10th day of Muharram, wa Husayna, wa Ghariba. You know, one of the moments that Lady Zainab had a hard time, when they put them on the camels, taking them as prisoners of war outside of Karbala. And you know what the enemies of Allah did? They know the heart of Lady Zainab. They took all the women and children right through what? To see the bodies laying there, where Lady Zainab alayha salam called Khuya Hussein, Brother Hussein. But Hussein was with no head laying on the battle field. He had none, he could not say anything back to her. Ah, Hussein, wa Husayna, wa Ghariba, ya Sayyidi Ghareeb Karbala, Shaheed Karbala, مظلوم كربلا وحسينا. اللهم بحق محمد وآل محمد, accept the little we offer in these nights, accept the little we offer in these nights. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, help us correct our path, Oh Ya Allah. بحق محمد وآل محمد. And let us offer the blessings of recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha after the Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Same, 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 Mu'mineen, this noha is titled Laka wa labbaik ya Hussain, which means for you and with you, O Hussain. And it is written in memory of all those difficult moments when our Imam Hussain found himself to be all alone. Laka wa labbaik ya Hussain.
لك ولبيك يا حسين لك ولبيك يا حسين for you and with you O مولا for you and with you حسين لك ولبيك يا حسين لك ولبيك يا حسين for you and with you O مولا for you and with you حسين لك ولبيك يا حسين لك ولبيك يا حسين لك ولبيك يا حسين لك ولبيك يا حسين for you and with you O مولا for you and with you حسين for you and with you O مولا
for you and with you حسين
when Yazidi swings an arrows murder Abbas is the lover when Yazidi Slings an arrow, murdered Abbas and Gilalar. When Yazidi slings an arrow, murdered Abbas and Gilalar. Ashkiya chonte da maula, Ashkiya chonte da maula. You have no one, Ibn Zahra. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna, Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn, Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna, Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn. For you and with you, O Mawla. For you and with you, Hussein. For you and with you, O Mawla. For you and with you, Hussein. When Shabih Mustafa fell, Mawla said this in his farewell. When Shabih Mustafa fell, when Shabih Mustafa fell, Mawla said this in his farewell. When Shabih Mustafa fell,
Mawla said this in his farewell.
How will I carry you, Akbar? How will I carry you, Akbar? How will I face Umme Layla? How will I carry you, Akbar? How will I face Umme Layla? Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn.
For you and with you, O Mawla. For you and with you, Hussein. For you and with you, O Mawla. For you and with you, Hussein. Holding us to thy said, O Mawla, Inna lillah bajilahi. Holding us to thy said, O Mawla, holding us to thy said Mawla, Inna lillah bajilahi. Holding us to thy
said Mawla, Inna lillah bajilahi.
Tell me me how to bury yesterday.
Tell me how to bury yesterday.
How to comfort his Sakinah.
Tell me how to bury yesterday.
How to comfort his Sakinah. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn.
For you and with you, O Mawla.
For you and with you, Husayn.
For you and with you, O Mawla.
رضاً بقضائه وتسليماً لأمر مولى وإسفر
رضاً بقضائه وتسليماً لأمر مولى وإسفر
رضاً بقضائه وتسليماً لأمر مولى وإسفر
رضاً بقضائه وتسليماً
Heaven is still reverberating,
heaven is still reverberating,
from the whisper, from the sajda.
Heaven is still reverberating,
from the whisper, from the sajda.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna,
laka wa labbaik ya Husayn, laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn.
For you and with you, O Mawla.
For you and with you, Husayn.
For you and with you, O Mawla.
For you and with you, Husayn.
Why are you hiding, O Baba, from Sakina Ayn Abata?
Why are you hiding, O Baba, from Sakina?
Why are you hiding, O Baba, from Sakina Ayn Abata?
Why are you hiding, O Baba, from Sakina Ayn Abata?
Come to me, come to the Maftal. Come to me, come to the Maftal.
Ta'ala layya, ya bunayya.
Come to me, come to the Maftal.
Ta'ala layya, ya bunayya.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn.
For you and with you, O Mawla.
For you and with you, Husayn.
For you and with you, O Mawla.
For you and with you, Husayn.
Yom Ashura, we killed every Husayni. Ashkiya said,
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 Lady Zainab said, Husayni.
Lady Zainab said, Husayni.
Shia will live till Qiyamah.
Lady Zainab said, Husayni.
Shia will live till Qiyamah.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna.
Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn.
For you and with you, O Mawla.
For you and with you,
for you and with you, O Mawla.
For you and with you, Husayn.
When the zalim tried to suppress forces of freedom and justice.
When the zalim tried to suppress forces of freedom and justice.
When the zalim tried to suppress forces of freedom and justice.
When the zalim tried to suppress forces of freedom and justice.
We will stand up for the Mazlum.
We will stand up for the Mazlum.
As Hussein is with the Noha.
We will stand up for the Mazlum.
As Hussein is with the Noha. Laka wa labbaik ya Husseina. Laka wa labbaik ya Hussein. Laka wa labbaik ya Husseina. Laka wa labbaik ya Hussein. Laka wa labbaik ya Husseina. Laka wa labbaik ya Hussein. Laka wa labbaik ya Husseina. Laka wa labbaik ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein.